It's January. What's happening in the natural world? Here are Boulder naturalists Ruth Carol Cushman and Steve Jones.
We're sitting on a bridge over a little trickling creek along Lower Bear Creek Canyon below National Center for Atmospheric Research on New Year's Day. And we're looking for signs of spring, even though there's still some snow on the ground and the wind has been howling all night long.
The house finches are singing their spring song, which is quite different from just the little chirping they do in the winter. And I love it because it seems to end in sort of a questioning note, like they're saying, is it really spring yet?
On these cold, dark days, one thing that really warms my heart is finding fringed sage greening up here on these sun-warmed hillsides. We're on city open space, so we can't pick it. But you can rub the green leaves between your palms and inhale that wonderful, sweet, pungent smell. Fringe sage and pasture sage have been used to purify sweat lodges for centuries. They're considered very sacred plants, and some people like to pick them and make bundles out of them, put them in their car as sort of a air freshener, or burn them ceremonially in the evening. These leaves of fringe sage are sort of a blue-greenish color, and they just make me think about spring.
This is not the same kind of sage that you use in cooking. One time many years ago, a friend of ours used it to stuff her Thanksgiving turkey, and she had to throw the whole turkey away because it was so bitter.
Yeah, it's in the sagebrush family, and if you put it in your turkey will taste like creosote.
Here are some willow twigs budding out. Willow twigs, leaves, and buds all contain substances related to the main ingredient in aspirin, and they were used by many Native Americans as painkillers.
I've been wondering for years how these willow buds make it through the winter. It turns out they're winter-hardened. The cells inside the buds lose most of their water content and absorb lots of sugars. And that enables them to resist temperatures as low as 20 or 30 degrees below zero. So this way the buds are primed and ready to go as soon as the warmth of spring arrives.
We just stumbled on an Easter daisy plant that isn't quite in bloom yet, but you can see the buds on it. Just tiny little buds that look white now, but later they will be pink, and then they open up into this lovely white daisy flower. We're just looking at two or three more of the Easter daisy plants, and one of them has buds that are much more advanced than the one that was a couple of feet lower down on the ridge. Shelley just found an Easter daisy that is actually opened up. You can see the petals, which are a very pale pinkish white. That's a thrill, the first flower of the year.
Oh, fantastic. You know, we're standing amid hundreds of these little Easter daisy plants. They're about as big as your palm. They're little green mats that grow here on these shale, bare shales in the middle of Bear Canyon. They seem to have pioneered a niche that no other plant can fill. The shales here are almost completely bare, but they're sun-baked throughout the year. So these little Easter daisies have big tap roots, and they're driving them way down and getting just enough moisture so they can thrive here where almost nothing else can grow. And this one has a single bloom on it, a single white bloom.
Project Budburst is a volunteer project throughout the country to track the first dates of flowers and buds and leaf out. The purpose of this project is to track global climate change by tracking the timing and blooming of flowers. To find out more or to volunteer for Budburst, check www.budburst.org.
Ruth Carol Cushman and Steve Jones are friends and Boulder naturalists.